welcome to Hawk Talk on the QU Media Podcast Network. I'm Hunter Mulch, and I'm with Jamari Coakley and Adam Price, and we're going to be talking about some pro basketball today. So, who are your teams that could potentially win the title this year?
All right, I'm going to go with my favorite team, of course, my hometown team. I'm going to go Memphis Grizzlies. I feel like we're building a lot of young chemistry, and we're starting to finally click together, and Ja is being the superstar that he is. So I feel like if everybody keeps blending and mending together, we can the things we could do over time is unimaginable.
I agree with that, Adam. That's a really good take, especially with Ja. He just keeps going up and up and up. What about you, Jamari?
Kind of like what Adam said, I'm going to go on my hometown team, the Celtics. I think you know, each year we always improved. Ever since Jaylen Brown came in the league, I think every year he's made it to the conference finals, and same with Tatum. And then last year, obviously, we made it to the finals and just fell a little short. And I think adding Malcolm Brogdon to the team helped out our bench a lot.
What do you think about adding Blake Griffin? You think he's going to be a factor?
Yeah, adding him to Blake Griffin, I think it's just going to help our team out. And, you know, just – each year we've been progressing, so, you know, last year we made it to the finals, so this year I'm hoping we win it all.
Yeah, Jamari, I was watching that season opener for the Celtics, and right away Blake Griffin made a huge impact. He was grabbing all the rebounds, doing all the little things, and that's exactly what Boston needs. And then they got Brogdon, like you said. You could really see in the finals when he got into a really good defensive team, they didn't have anybody to set up their half-court offense. It was just basically just Tatum, go get a bucket. Jaylen Brown, go get a bucket.
Facts.
My turn, your turn.
Yeah, I feel like Brogdon is a good two-way player. I feel like his defense speaks for itself, and I feel like people sleep on his shooting ability and, like, what he can do for a team.
I mean, the guy, like, he averaged 18-8 in Indiana. So, I mean, he's a really good playmaker. But do you guys have any favorite players? Let's start with you, Ja.
Yeah, my favorite player of all time is Derrick Rose. He's the reason why I basically, like, started playing basketball. He was, like, my idol. Just wanted to do everything like him, be like him. I'm actually left-handed when it comes to basketball, and I was trying to – growing up, I was trying to change my shooting. Like, I was trying to shoot right-handed just because of Derrick Rose. And at the time, there wasn't really much lefties that were, like, known in the NBA for, I mean, like, Derek Fisher was one of them. But, like, you wasn't really trying to model your game after Derek Fisher.
Sure,
so, like,
sure.
Derek Rose was my guy for sure. Still is my guy. And his character and everything about him just is one of the reasons why he's one of my favorite players.
Yeah, I completely agree. D. Rose has been – he's been my guy since 2008, since he came in after the championship game with Memphis against Kansas. It's kind of sad what New York has started to do with him, just kind of use him as a vet to mentor the young guys, which I know he could be way so much more. But what about you, Adam?
All right, I'm gonna go all-time second, and I'm going to go favorite current player now. I'm going to say my favorite current player is, of course, Ja Morant. I got the prize to see him play when he was in college. My junior college team was – we only went to one EIU game, and – I was getting recruited to EIU, so they was trying to, like, convince, like, show us the campus and, like, make us want to come there. So, like, they invited us, the whole team, to a game so I could, like, be with my teammates. And we saw, of course, them play Murray State, and he had, like, 40. He took off, like, from 2 feet from the free throw line and completely, like, obliterated the 6'8".
You were at that game?
Yes, I was there. I was, like, going insane. I almost, like, jumped on the court, just crowded the court. But, yeah. So I saw him play in junior college, and then also, like, when I – of course, I've seen him play since I've been back in the city. Like, when I get a chance to go back home, I go instantly to a game. So I've seen him play multiple times there, so it's been really exciting. He's really turning up the city. Like, he's kind of like a crime stopper in a way. Like, he's like a superhero without a cape. He, like, get everybody to come to the games instead of just being out doing what they could do on a normal night in Memphis, you know what I'm saying? All time, I'm going to go – Allen Iverson, because I just feel like he was more my size, so it was, like, easy to mimic my game after a person that was more my size. And I feel like I just liked his swag. Like, nobody could kind of tell him what to do. Like, they always made rules to, like, make him be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because he was different, they didn't know how to take it. So they was like, we have to do something about it. And I feel like that's kind of how my life is in a way. So, yeah, I'll say Allen Iverson for sure.
Well, Adam, you can definitely see, like, the similarities between Ja and Iverson. I mean, Ja's a little bit more explosive, in my opinion, but they're both really undersized guards, both insanely good bucket getters. Like, they're crazy. So, what do you guys think about the Lakers? Let's start with you, Ja.
It's tough. It is tough. I mean, LeBron, at the age that he is, he's doing all he can do, and he's doing a lot still at an old age. And I don't know. I feel like they just need more shooters. They don't have much shooters over there, and I think that's probably like one of the reasons why they're struggling. They just have no shooters, and they just have. It's tough. Like, their starting lineup is just like with LeBron, Pat, and Westbrook. That's just.
Yeah, no spacing at all.
That's like a real '90s lineup to have.
Skip Bayless said it best. He said if this team was in like the '70s, '80s, '90s, they'd be the favorites every year
for sure.
But like, I mean, I don't know why they made this team. And then I remember seeing all over their social media that they made Pat Bev like their huge free agent signing. Like he was going to change the world of.
I mean, like, when you look back on it, the big thing that everybody kept talking about the Lakers not being able to do was play defense. So then they finally got, like, a defensive stopper, but that's not the person that they needed to get. Like, they needed a two-way player like Malcolm Brogdon, like somebody of that type of caliber. Like, they could play defense but also hit an open shot. Like, Pat Bev, he can hit an open shot, don't get me wrong, but it's not consistent. It's not enough to get you in no championship-caliber team, like. He has never been on a championship caliber team, I feel like. And the closest thing he was like
the Clippers.
The Clippers. You know what I'm saying? They never make it to no Western Conference Finals for, and if they did, it wasn't like they was competing. So it's like I don't know why they thought Pat Bev was the solving point. Like I watched some highlights of him playing and some open runs, and like, don't get me wrong, he's decent when he plays other people, but like that's not who he's gonna play. So like it's cool that all the NBA players in the offseason go on these open runs and play like professional players from overseas and like college and whatnot, but like, is that gonna get you better? And like, just like Ben Simmons, for instance, like everybody wanted to record Ben Simmons over the summer shooting his jump shot and working on that. Then when he played, he don't even look to shoot it. And then when he with the team, he can't even shoot. Like you saw that highlight of him, and outside just shot an air ball completely away from the goal. Like didn't even look. He was a professional basketball player. It's just certain things that I just don't understand.
See, Adam, I don't understand, like, with the Lakers, like, what they're trying to do. Like, I mean, if this was, like, LeBron from, like, the Miami days, you know, maybe he could bring this team along with him. I think they could still be a contender team, but it just all depends on Anthony Davis's health.
Yeah.
And, like, if he has, like, in 2020 he had the go get me a bucket mentality.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just – and he's one of my favorite players, like, watching him at in New Orleans and watching him grow. It's been insane. But his mentality, I think, is just completely just gone down.
Yeah, I think, like, once he got with LeBron, he just lost that hunger for it. Like, he was more, like, thirsty to show everybody that I'm going to make this team win. And now, like, Bron wanted you to do the same thing, but you trying to backdoor it. Now you're trying to be a second man. Like, Bron needs you to be the leader, and he could just kind of, like, be your co-star because he old, bro. He not trying to keep scoring 50 on everybody, bro. Like, he can, but that takes a lot out of him.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's at the age where, like you just said, he's getting old. He's 38, you know. He can still put up those insane numbers, but there's a difference between putting up those numbers and winning games because I don't know. I mean, I'm not LeBron. I don't know how he would lead those Cleveland teams to the finals. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You guys have any idea on who's going to win MVP this year? My pick is Jason Tatum. What about you, Ja?
Shoot. I like that answer right there. As long as someone from the Celtics get it. But, yeah, I think I don't know about MVP, but I think someone that's going to have a big year this year is Brandon Ingram. But I do like Tatum for MVP. But I do think Brandon Ingram is someone who's going to have a big year. I wouldn't say most improved. I think he already got that a few years ago.
Brandon Ingram?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
But I think he's going to have a even bigger year this year. And I think the Pelicans are actually going to be a team to watch out for. But, yeah, like you said, I like Tatum for MVP for sure.
What about you, Adam?
All right, I'm tired of saying Ja Morant every answer. So, besides Ja Morant, I'm going to say hot take Joel Embiid. Because he's always, like, these last 2-3 years, he's been in the running. But, like, Jokic just kind of, like, take it up at the last notch and win it. So, I feel like this year he's just going to make it, like, a statement that he's not.
Not messing around.
He's not messing around no more. Like, it's me. It's been me.
I just think that with the MVP race, everybody wants to talk about the points and all the statistics. Mm-hmm. But the most important ability you have as any athlete is availability.
Yeah.
Jokic is there every single night doing the exact same thing.
Facts.
With, I know last year he had no buddies. This year you're probably going to see his stats wane a little bit because Jamal's back. Michael Porter Jr. is back.
Yeah.
But I would not be shocked if he won MVP for the third straight time.
Like, honestly. Assist and rebounds-wise, it'll probably go up. But, like, points-wise, it might go down.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But, like, I still feel like the triple-double almost averages one to, like, it's different.
He's insane. Who's your guys' picks for Rookie of the Year, Adam?
Rookie of the Year. Definitely got to go Paolo.
Yep.
Gotta go Paolo.
Yeah, I like Paolo too.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I gotta ride for my Duke guys.
Yeah. How Paolo. Much did he have yesterday?
Yeah, 27, 9-5.
That's crazy. That is crazy. He had some dunks that made him look like he was a young LeBron.
He's it, bro. I've been trying to tell everybody that Chet and Jabari, they're cool. Paolo's got that NBA ready body.
Yeah.
He's got the handle. He's just incredible.
Speaking of NBA body, Anthony Edwards gained 15 pounds.
You can see it
over
too.
The summer.
It's all muscle.
15 pounds is crazy. He weighs more than his big man. He weighs more than Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's not a good look for
that is
cat.
Yeah, it's not a good look for him, but that is crazy though. I mean, I guess for that height, like, you don't want to weigh that much because, like, I guess it kind of wears and tears on your body. But Anthony Edwards is going to be, like, flying. He already flying. So, like, with that weight, flying through the paint, like, who's going to be able to really stop that?
Yeah, he's a dog for sure.
Yeah.
He's someone to look out for this year, too.
I mean.
He might get most improved.
Yeah, I mean, he really put the, like, everybody's known he's going to really, like, grow into this great player. I think he really, like, told the league last year, like, no, I want it now.
Yeah.
I don't want it in a couple years. I want it now.
For sure. Especially after, like, he didn't get the rookie of the year in his rookie season. I feel like he, like, nah, it's about that time to turn it up.
And
sure.
I mean, he's gained a lot of respect from people, especially, like, what he did in the Memphis series.
Mm-hmm.
He's,
for sure. He gained my respect in that, for sure.
He's one of those guys, he just doesn't stop. He's just going to keep going until, like, he makes his point proven.
Facts.
But
he reminds me like of a, I don't want to push it, like a young Tracy McGrady type.
Oh, I see that.
You feel me?
I see that definitely, yeah.
With the athleticism and, like, he kind of got a shot on him too.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think Ant has a better mentality to him than.
He's a dog. He just got that dog mentality.
Like, who would you compare him to, Ja? Like, if you could think of anybody, like, in the past.
I don't know. He one of a kind for sure, but
yeah.
I don't know who I could compare him to. He's just got that dog in him for sure.
What
though.
You think about, like, Vince Carter?
Like,
how he, whenever he get, like, on a break, everybody just know it's, like, that time.
I mean, yeah, as far as, like, athleticism-wise, yeah, but I don't know if it relates to all the other aspects
of
Vince's
game. Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I feel you on that.
See, I think, like, me and my buddy that's out of town, he's a huge Bulls fan, so he already knows about the whole Zach LaVine train. I watch him, and I feel like I'm watching Vince Carter again.
Not going to lie, Zach LaVine has been, like, progressively getting way better and better. Like, I feel like he's
overcompensating.
He making his game way harder than it has to be because I feel like he's trying to prove to everybody that he can shoot. Like, you don't have to prove it anymore. Like, you could just literally go to the goal and dunk it whenever. Or, like, at least get to the goal, like, where you being aggressive and people foul you. And it's like, I feel like he's trying to take, like, he's taking away the best aspect of his game by trying to prove something. You know what I mean?
I 100% agree because I remember his first year in Chicago. Well, his first year, he missed a lot of time. But I know his second year, he was, like, trying to prove a point.
Yeah.
And dunking on people and always going to the basket. But, yeah, I don't know if it's because they got DeMar now. Yeah. But he could easily be the best player on that team.
Yeah, for sure.
What about – we'll wrap it up with who do you guys think are going to win Defensive Player of the Year this year?
Man, we going back to back, man. Marcus Smart, man. You know the vibes. Celtics going to have at least 3 to 4 plays on first team, second team.
That's tough.
I think we had 2 last year.
Even with Udoka out, you think they're going to be that good of a defensive team?
Yeah, we still going to be good. We're still going to be a top team.
What about you, Adam?
I'm going to say Rudy Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns because they're on the same team. And I feel like if they really man together and become, like, a dominant paint presence, like, you know in the NBA you can't be in the 3 seconds, like, playing defense. So, like, if you put Cat on one side and, like, kind of have Rudy on the other side lingering around, like, I feel like that's 2 7-foot people at the goal. So, like, you have to – they can change shots and block shots. Like, even if they don't block it all the time, they can alter the shot. So I feel like if they come in together, they can be, like, a dynamic duo for, like, running in a way.
Do y'all have a favorite NBA moment?
Ooh.
Like, ever?
Yeah, like – ever or like,
yeah, you got to go on this one first because you be asking us all the questions. You got to go first.
Well, I mean, oh my gosh, I've watched so much basketball in my life. It's ridiculous. It's so hard to pinpoint one. So I'll probably say like 2. So probably D Rose's dunk on Goran Dragic,
that was
his
tough
sophomore year.
That was tough.
And then probably, I mean, I was like 5. So I don't know if that'd really count, but I'm going to just say it. Kobe's 81-point game, or it would be Kobe's right elbow pull-up against Phoenix, mm-hmm. the game winner.
For sure.
What about you, Adam?
I would probably say in person, my favorite memory was when Rudy Gay hit a buzzer beater against Bron when he was on the Heat. Because being at that game, everybody wanted to see what the Heat was going to do. They really didn't care about the Grizzlies. And then the Grizzlies won. So everybody was like, oh, we really got to cheer now. So, like, everybody was so excited. Like, the night, like, everybody went out and had a great time. It was no drama. Everybody was cool. Probably on TV-wise, it was probably James Harden when he snapped, like, was it Kawhi?
The Clippers player? Wesley Johnson.
What, no, like when he snapped Patrick Beverley's ankle.
Oh, yeah, Paul that
George.
Big game.
Yeah, and Paul George at the same
he
time.
He was on the
and
floor saying, like, wow.
That was like a like, – I was watching it, like, live, so I was like, bro, no way he just did that. Like, that's 2 great defensive players that you just, like, completely snapped, had no chance of, like, blocking the shot at all.
Yeah, I remember he stared into the camera. And
yeah, like, he
went,
was
– wow.
It was going crazy.
What about you, Ja?
I'll say, like, when it was Christmas Day, I think it was the Lakers and the Bulls playing, and D-Rose had, like, a floater, and I think for the game winner, and I think I was watching that live, so that was, like, something right there that I thought was, like, pretty dope. And one of the games when it was the Heat versus the Bulls, when D-Rose was just going off, he caught, like, 3 dunks. He was going crazy.
Playoff game.
Yeah, it had, like, and one layup. Well, it wasn't – they didn't call it, but it was like a tough layup on LeBron and D-Wade. And
yeah, I remember that.
He was just giving them hell, and, like, he just obviously one of my favorite players, so.
And one more, like, one of my favorite D-Rose highlights is when he hit that game winner and had no reaction.
Y'all all know against exactly. Cleveland?
Yeah, he had no 15. Reaction. That was, like, top 5 moments in NBA. Like, I was like, wow. I would have went crazy doing that. It's like not have no emotion, just like lay into a crowd of like surfing people trying to like touch you and like be excited for you. It was crazy.
I remember watching that game live at home, and I remember just absolutely losing my mind. And my mom told me to calm down.
Yeah.
But it's just something as a sports fan, you just have to see. It's crazy. But I just want to thank you guys for joining me today on the QU Media Podcast Network. And I'm Hunter Mulch.